Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we have got a Titans ball game on Sunday on the road. I know it makes everyone shudder just a little bit to hear that the Titans are playing on the road, but they're headed out to Jacksonville, second divisional game of the season, and joining us now to break it all down is Tony Smith, who covers the Jacksonville Jaguars for 92.5 in Jacksonville. Tony, first and foremost, appreciate your time, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, appreciate you. I'm interested to hear the Jacksonville perspective of Trevor Lawrence, how he's been so far. Has he been as advertised? How good has Trevor Lawrence truly been this season?
It depends on who you ask, right? That can often happen with especially the quarterback position specifically. I think if you're looking for my take on what we've seen from Trevor Lawrence, look, the team is 6-3, and they're not 6-3 despite Trevor Lawrence. I don't think he's playing as well as he did for the second half of last season when they went on that run, won the wild card game coming from behind against the Chargers, and then went toe-to-toe with the Chiefs in the divisional round of the playoffs. I don't think we've seen that Trevor Lawrence yet, which is a little bit disappointing because the talk throughout the offseason was that Trevor Lawrence would be playing himself maybe into a conversation of one of the top five quarterbacks in the league, being the MVP discussion at some point this year. He's not playing at that kind of level. And the real issues for the football team right now it's all about turnovers, especially on the opponent's side of the field. They've squandered so many scoring opportunities, and Trevor Lawrence has been kind of the center of a lot of that controversy to this point this year. But I think overall he's playing pretty well. But the stats, when you look at them, aren't going to tell the story on how well he might have been playing through the first nine games of this season.
So we saw the Jags struggle a good bit early in the season last year. 3-6, of course, turned things around, ultimately ended up winning the division. Jags have had a fairly good start this year. What do you think has been the difference? Is it experience for Trevor Lawrence, the pieces around him, the play calling? What has been the evolution of this team, do you think?
I think the defense is picking up where it left off last year in the red-hot second half of the season that they had. The way the Week 18 game ended last year when it was a divisional title game between the Jaguars and the Titans, and the difference in that game wound up being the ball got knocked out of the quarterback's hands and Josh Allen picked it up and ran it for a touchdown. The Jaguars' defense was red-hot, forcing turnovers last year. They forced 18 through the first nine games this year, so they've kept that kind of streak going. It didn't show up last week against the 49ers, obviously, and the way that they got beat against San Francisco. But for the most part, the defense has gotten better, even from the back half of last season to this season. And the offense is still kind of trying to find its footing in a lot of ways. We've yet to see a game this season where the offense has put together two good halves of football. Despite that, because of how well the defense has been playing, they're still 6-3, right? And they do go on the road and beat New Orleans, and they go on the road and beat Pittsburgh, and they are in London and they beat Buffalo. It's not like these are all minor wins that they've gotten to this point this season, but the back half of their schedule is loaded with the teams that they're going to be facing. You know, they got Houston in a week. That's a big game, obviously, since that's one of the teams that has handed them one of those three losses that could go a long way to deciding the division championship in the AFC South next week between the Jags and the Texans. But yeah, I think the defense has been the real difference maker through the first nine games this year.
We'll talk with Tony Smith, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM there in Jacksonville. Now, Tony, you did mention some of, some of the woes that the quarterback is having, Trevor Lawrence. But isn't, and I'm trying to word this correctly because I'm going to say encouraging, but that's not really what it is. But is it encouraging to see this, the quarterback, not at the top of his A game, but this team still finds a way to win ball games?
I think the attitude of Trevor Lawrence carries the team, right? And that's often what happens with quarterbacks that are relied upon. And look, it's a quarterback league. You know, no one ducks that kind of thing. And Trevor Lawrence is a super talented player, right? And that doesn't always show up play to play, and there are mistakes that are made. But I think back to specifically the New Orleans Saints game. That was a Thursday night game in New Orleans for this Jaguars team. In the final drive offensively the Sunday before, they're playing the Colts here in Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence gets hit when he shouldn't have even been rolling out, but he gets hit, suffers some kind of knee injury. We're not even sure he's going to be able to play that week against New Orleans. And early on in that game, Trevor Lawrence took off and ran a couple of times. And you could see, right, the sideline for the Jaguars kind of like, okay, our guy is ready to go, right? There were a lot of questions as to whether or not he was going to be good to even play that night against the Saints. But it does. When the quarterback gives you those kind of moments to lift up, it picks up the entire team. And I think Trevor Lawrence really does a lot of that kind of stuff for him. I think it's hard to quantify how much he helps what is not a great offensive line here in Jacksonville get out of bad plays, get into good plays. He does get the ball out of his hand quickly and make good first reads. He does that very, very well. He helps out an offensive line that gives up pressure a lot, but his athleticism has helped them so many times, and the teammates know how important that kind of stuff is more than I think the people that are just going to look at the numbers for Trevor Lawrence can really understand what that means. That doesn't mean that I don't think he has another level to get to when it comes to the statistical stuff, because I think he clearly does. He's not living up to those kind of expectations, but I don't think there's any doubt in the locker room that Trevor Lawrence is the guy that can lead them to where they want to get to ultimately.
Now, we talked earlier on the show, Tony, about, you know, the Derrick Henry dominance of Jacksonville.
Sure.
In his career, he has over 1,300 yards, 15 touchdowns against this Jags team. Do you get the feeling they still see him as that type of running back? We here in Nashville look at him a little bit different. He's still a really good back, but we have acknowledged, at least some of us have acknowledged, that he has lost a step. But does Jacksonville still feel that Derrick Henry is the guy that can basically take over a game and win it?
I think it's easy to look at getting ready for this game this week specifically and see that if you can look at what the Titans have done. Y'all talk about it every day. Mm-hmm. If the Titans haven't run for 140 yards this year, they haven't won, right? And I think that does speak to when Derrick Henry is able to be a big factor in a game, he's still a big factor for the Titans, right? Like, that should be the game plan week to week, you would think, for Tennessee, is to get Derrick Henry on a roll because he's still capable of doing those things. He may not be able to do, you know, what he was doing 4 years ago where he can take over the whole thing for a month. Right? Like, you can just go into a week and say, today we're getting him 30 touches, and if we need to get him 40, then that's what we're going to do, because this guy has to touch the ball as much as possible. I think the issues from the outside looking in that the Titans are having along the offensive line affect not only their quarterback, but affect their running game as well, obviously, to this point this season. I think that Derrick Henry is less dangerous than he was 4 years ago, but that doesn't mean he's not dangerous, right? It's just a different kind of thing because the pieces around him on that Titans offense just seem to be a little bit less threatening with the lack of a decent offensive line. I mean, you guys know it's that Titans offensive line has been a big issue all season long, and that affects so many things, but I think it's affecting Derrick Henry as much as it's affecting anything to this point this year.
Tony, also with that in mind, because I think there's no doubt when you watch the little preview on CBS, they're going to show some of the great runs Derrick Henry has had against the Jaguars in
sure.
the past, but it does look like, you know, if you go back a couple of years, this is not the same Jaguar team, and the running defense, we were looking at the rush defense week in and week out, it's been pretty consistently good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The rush defense has been one of the strengths of this football team this year. It's last week, I think it caught everyone off guard with how bad they played. Just all over the place, they played really, really poorly last week. Those kind of things crop up every now and then in the NFL. The next 2 weeks are so crucially important for this Jaguars team to get wins against the Titans and the Texans and to get themselves back to where they think they could be, right, at this point in the season. But the rush defense has been great all season long. It's allowed them to get opponents into third and long situations, and they've been able to create turnovers very consistently when they've been able to get that kind of thing done. This week, obviously, the test is going to be, I would expect the Titans to come in and try to run the ball as opposed to drop Levis back and hope that their offensive line can hold up well enough to allow him some kind of time to get something done right in the pass game. It certainly seems reasonable that the plan should still be for the Titans at this point to protect themselves, to try to get their run game going. The Jaguars defense has been as good against that kind of test as they could be to this point in 2023. They'll face another one this week, though.
Tony, you just hit on the point that we've been talking about a lot. Outside of Will Levis playing quarterback, which is a big thing, the quarterback's always big, the offensive line is a constant discussion of how do they fix it? Can it be any better? Can it be any worse? What are the things that on your show you talk about when you're discussing the Jaguars and what they have to fix to be truly among the AFC's elite?
Offensive line.
Wow, isn't that interesting?
Would be the top of the list. And there are reasons for that, right? You know, Cam Robinson was out for the first month with the suspension. Walker Little, who was playing left tackle for him early on and played really well. By all accounts, Walker Little was the best offensive lineman they had on the field through the first month of the season. But Cam Robinson comes back. He goes back into the lineup as the left tackle. They're moving Walker Little inside the left guard at that point in time. Well, he got hurt in the first game that he was playing at left guard, so he was out for 3 weeks. Brandon Sheriff has had an ankle injury that hasn't kept him off the field to this point this year, but it's not like he's 100%. It doesn't feel like week to week. They have a rookie at right tackle in Anton Harrison. Like, there have been different things going on along the offensive front that have been issues, and people can point to the stats with Trevor Lawrence and, you know, time to throw stats, that kind of thing. I think most of it really is that the play calling to this point this season has been they're trying to protect an offensive line that they don't feel good about, trying to get them to stand there for 3 seconds and block people. I think they recognize that it's probably not how they're built right now is to do that kind of thing. So the offense has been a bunch of quick hitting stuff as opposed to pushing the ball downfield. And that affects so many things. They bring in Calvin Ridley this year into the offense for the first time, but it's hard to figure out exactly how that's going to look when you're not having time to push the ball downfield to Calvin Ridley all that much. Zay Jones being out for the last 3 weeks, that's not some small deal. That's a big deal inside the Jaguars offense because he is such a big red zone goal line target for them when they get down to that part of the field. He's got the chemistry with Trevor Lawrence on that too. And the other thing I think that gets talked about a lot here, and it's not a surprise, like when you go into any offseason basically in the NFL, what fans are going to point to, if you don't have a quarterback, and Jacksonville feels like they do, if they don't have a quarterback, they're going to talk about offensive line, pass rush, right? That's just what you're going to hear the most about. And in Jacksonville, the offensive line was a discussion point, still is, and pass rush with Trayvon Walker, who they took number one overall last year, right? They chose that over Aiden Hutchinson, and we knew when they made that pick what they were going for. They were going for the traits with Trayvon because the stats weren't there coming out of Georgia, and that they would be saying at some point he's going to turn into a guy that can be a productive pass rusher. Well, they didn't add anybody in the offseason. You guys have Arden Key. That was a guy that was here. He helped them a lot in 2022, but they didn't get that worked out for him to come back for 2023. So Trayvon Walker's full-time on the opposite side of Josh Allen, who's having a Pro Bowl year, maybe in discussion for an All-Pro year with the kind of first half of a season that he's had, but he's not getting much help from anywhere else along the defensive line. But the last 2 weeks have looked way better for Trayvon Walker. He's having an impact as far as a pass rusher, really for the first time in this year and a half. And if they can continue to get that and better as they go through the back half of this season, that would be a big plus for a Jaguars team that didn't add anything in free agency, didn't add anything going to the trade deadline this year. It's obvious their two horses are going to be Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker. They just need more from Walker to make that bet pay off.
Now, how good is Alua Khan? I mean, he leads the team in tackles. He just seems like a tackling machine. But maybe he doesn't get the recognition that he probably deserves. I see him, just watching film, I see him as the heartbeat of the team. He's the guy that backer that is going to get everything straight, and he's the catalyst for what they do, at least from a run-stopping standpoint.
Foye Oluokun is as impressive as I think a linebacker can be, especially playing that kind of middle linebacker role in today's NFL. You look at the guys who get selected to Pro Bowls and All-Pros the last couple of years. Foye Oluokun is every bit as good a player as Roquan Smith, as Fred Warner, as any of these guys. He's every bit as good as those guys are. He had a couple of sacks last week in the game against San Francisco, so they're using him to blitz a little bit more than they typically have, you know, through his first season here in Jacksonville. He's led the league in tackles two consecutive years. He's in the top five again this year. Foye Oluokun is also a guy that, when you put on the tape of a Jaguars game and you watch him early on in the game, he is no slower on snap 70 than he is on snap 1. His conditioning is crazy. You know, what he still gives you late in football games. Now, Foye Oluokun is a great player. I hope he finally gets the Pro Bowl kind of attention that he's deserved for the last couple of years, his last year in Atlanta and especially last year here in Jacksonville. But I think he's having the best year of his career to this point this season.
Dude's a freak. Mm-hmm. A freak. Tony Smith is with us from 1010XL 92.5 in Jacksonville. Looking a little bit more big picture here in the division, do you and do Jacksonville fans expect to win the AFC South this year? And who would you consider the biggest threat to the division this season?
The expectation is to win the division from the fan base, and that hadn't changed. I will say the nerves about the confidence when it comes to the Jaguars being the team that we're going to win the AFC South have changed, you know, in the last 3 weeks or so. Look, Houston doesn't do what they've done the last 2 weeks as a fluke,
right?
Like the stuff they've done in the last couple weeks, and CJ Stroud halfway through his rookie year, like the stuff that Houston is doing, there's nothing fluky about that. That's a team that is on the rise, right? And we'll see what that looks like in the back half of the season, but their schedule sets up as well as a schedule if you're competing to catch somebody in the division in the back half of the season could possibly set up for the Houston Texans. So if anyone's going to get them, I would say that it's going to be Houston, and it's, again, why these 2 weeks back-to-back are circled for this Jaguars team. If they win on Sunday against Tennessee, and then they go to Houston the week after that and beat the Texans and reestablish that lead in the AFC South, I think there will be a lot of people that take a deep breath and say, okay, they're where we thought they should be, right? But if they were to drop, especially the game next week to Houston, you're going to have a lot of nervous Jaguars fans because the Texans' schedule down the stretch is just way easier than the Jaguars' schedule is coming down to the end of the season. We'll see how much easier it got with Joe Burrow and what's going to happen there with the Cincinnati Bengals. But if there is a team that's going to push them in the South right now, the expectation is that it would be Houston. And whew, that game next week, man, it doesn't get any bigger than that.
Perks of a last place schedule and a rookie quarterback who's been playing absolutely lights out. My goodness,
no doubt.
I did not expect that turnaround from the Texans as quick as they had. Tony Smith from 1010XL, 92.5 in Jacksonville. Tony, really appreciate your time. Thanks for stopping by.
Absolutely, anytime.
Appreciate it. Enjoy the game this weekend. All right, we will continue Titans-Jags conversation coming up next with Mike Vrabel's keys to the game. Now, when I heard these, I raised an eyebrow a little bit because the vibe, the feeling of Mike Vrabel's keys felt a little bit different this week. So we'll get into those coming up next. And, of course, your phones as well, 615-737-1025. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders will take on Milligan tomorrow at the Murphy Center with pregame beginning at 4:30 p.m. and tip-off at 5 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3classichits.com.